We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Fun to have a guy that you can do anything you want. You know he's going to throw strikes anywhere you want to go. And then you can start sequencing teams and batters, and you can just pretty much do anything you want. So, and he's a competitor, so that's number one.
The record last year didn't really portray it, but you can see the talent. There's been a big overhaul in guys and free agent signings, which is really, really great to see. I mean, myself included, but when you look at the division, you look at everything, you look at the trajectory, it really bodes well for the South Side. And I think the signing of Grandal was kind of a mind-blowing one, to be honest with you, especially with McCann having such a great year. But it fortifies two of the best backstops in the league, and that's really where you build from. And after that, it was kind of, hey, you know, this AL Central could look pretty juicy.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. That last voice you heard was Dallas Keuchel. He's talking about the catcher, Yasmani Grandal, and he was a teammate at Arkansas with James McCann. So they've got a connection too. And you heard Grandal talking first about Keuchel and knowing that he's going to throw strikes.
You also heard from both guys talking about their conversation over the 2017 World Series, which I thought was interesting. We had mentioned that on Friday, how it might be a little awkward, but they addressed it, and that got that kind of out of the way, and now they're teammates and they're looking forward. And there was a lot of optimism with White Sox Fest, and I think it was, you know, we're talking baseball, and you look at the Sox feeling very good about themselves. And then yesterday, the Cubs were reminded where they aren't and what they haven't done when Nick Castellanos signs with the Reds.
And it's interesting because Dustin's like, well, what have they done? Give me something. No one said Joe Madden.
Well,
right?
the question he asked was, what have they lost?
What have they lost? Okay, they lost the manager.
Here's the list. They lost the manager. That's number one, one of the best managers in baseball. Number two, they lost Steve Cishek. They lost Cole Hamels. But you know what? This underscores they lost Nick Castellanos. Nick Castellanos is a guy that gave them as much pop in that lineup as anybody down the last 2 months of the season.
They lost Addison Russell. And you can, you know, Dustin likes to say, well, tell me something they really lost. Well, they lost the guy that started at shortstop on a World Series team. Right? Do they win the World Series if he isn't their shortstop that year?
Well, but they have Nico Horner now. I mean, if you want to talk about what they added, I mean,
Nico Horner did come up in a
defensive replacement. Yeah. If you need it for Baez or a guy that can play second base and might be able to hit up at the top of the order,
he definitely
and you like
showed up.
Ross, right? You think that the change to Ross is going to be?
I don't think David Ross is a better manager right now. Obviously, okay. I'm not saying that, but I think that this group needed that kick in the ass. I've been saying since Ross left, something that's been missing is a David. Listen, in a perfect world, Joe Madden would still be here. Okay, he would still be here, and David Ross would be starting his second season
as the bench coach
with a nice goodbye, because then there would have been the ass kicker in the building, okay, and you could have sent out Madden in a proper fashion.
Fair enough, but you're talking about intangibles here, and I think that Madden and the manager, that's sort of an intangible. Addison Russell, defensive replacement, is sort of like an extra. I'm talking about things that are actually
palpable.
Castellanos and Hamels have statistics and numbers and things that you're going to miss.
How about another year of youth for John Lester? Right? Don't we look at him differently now than we did even last year and the year before?
Because he's 36?
Yes.
Don't you
in baseball?
You have to. I mean, that's just the reality of pitchers when they age. What are you going to get out of Jose Quintana this year? He's 31. Not that that's old, but he has to be more consistent. All these guys, you think that Darvish has turned the corner? Yeah, the backs of the baseball cards for the Chicago Cubs pitching staff makes you feel like maybe they're not going to be as bad as we're projecting. But until they do something that makes them address, or it looks like they're addressing the loss of Hamels and the loss of Castellanos, you can't project anything that looks optimistic, can you? Unless you're just kidding yourself.
We have a texter saying Nico Beckham.
Well played.
That hurts everyone.
That's just on.
That hurts everyone.
I liked what I saw from Nico Horner last year, but if you're putting all your hopes and dreams into a 21-year-old, you know, with a month's worth of experience, that's not a good place to be either.
Kevin, he's a complimentary piece. He's a very good guy. You could envision maybe being a leadoff hitter. He's a solid player. He's not going to make you forget what you don't have on the Cubs.
I'm just saying, if the Addison Russell removal, the Nico Horner addition, is it's the old, like in second grade, greater than, less than, the alligator.
Okay. I think
Nico greater than Addison Russell.
I agree with that.
Fair enough. What about Castellanos, who's replacing
him? Listen, it's a great point. I wanted you nailed it when we led into that question. I was preaching patience because I thought somehow, some way, Nick Cassie, and I'm disappointed. I really am. But part of, I think, why that happened when it happened is because I think by now the Cubs were hoping they were going to know what was going to happen in this grievance.
And well, Dustin,
then they were going to trade somebody.
I don't disagree with that.
And
but
then
you know what?
They could have brought Nick Castellanos back.
Then that's not an offseason plan. That's an offseason hope. And that's not a way to build a baseball team going into a season.
Well, they're kind of handcuffed as it is. So
are they?
Well, they have decided. I don't like it, but they've continued to say we're not. It's not even. I don't think it's about the tax. They're worried about the draft picks.
Look,
it's not about being cheap. It's about the draft picks.
You are as skeptical. You can be skeptical as anybody. All right, but you're accepting this idea that the Cubs have to wait until the end. They get a resolution to this grievance, like we all sort of are, before they can do anything.
Well, once this grievance comes through and they do nothing, then I'll hammer them, okay? Then I'll really get on board with the hammer
train. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but there's no one left to sign.
There are people to trade with.
Okay, but
right. There is nobody. There's a guy I've never heard of that roto guys like Kevin. Some guy with a bad knee from Tampa Bay or something they're talking about that plays a corner outfield spot.
Sousa, they signed.
You know, they're willing to. That's willing to play for free, and you know, they'll rehabilitate him and trade him.
He had 30 homers one year.
Okay, that'd be great. Listen, I take that in right field.
Yeah, you had him and Scooter, and then you got a Stu going.
312-644-6767. Let's get to the phone lines. Kevin is in Palatine. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. Oh, my God. Steven, Sousa, and Scooter Tinette. Let me run out and buy some season tickets. No, that's not going to happen. I say right now this is a 74-win team, but maybe. And, David, you just brought up a great point. John Lester, he is – probably behind Hossa for the Blackhawks. He's probably the best free agent signing in the history of Chicago.
Yep.
But he's bad now. So, I mean, he's not good. He's going to be one of the worst pitchers in the league this year. Way too much contact. But the one thing I will not lament, because I wanted him gone last year, there are no tears for Addison Russell. Good. I'm glad he's gone because he sucks at baseball. But here's the main issue. You know, and it made me so upset at the time listening to Rizzo and Len Casper and all these guys say future MVP. You know, the Sox have a ton of good young players coming up. Don't compare people to Trout and call Eloy Babe Ruth. Just let them play. They're going to be really good, and they're going to be way better than the Cubs, and it makes me want to vomit to say it, but it's the truth. Thanks, guys.
It's the truth, and that's what I mean. You're exactly right. If Steve Stone compares Luis Robert to Mike Trout, then I'm like, oh, really? But when Eloy does, that's just a teammate being nice.
312-644-6767. Let's try Mike. He's in Plainfield. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Mike.
Yes, when the Cubs fired Renteria and hired Joe Maddon, when they got ready to contend, I'm curious as to what White Sox fans think if Renteria is the right manager at this time. Thank you.
So now the Sox should fire Ricky because the Cubs did it. Is Joe Maddon available? Is there a Joe Maddon type guy? I thought we had disproved the celebrity manager as a real entity.
I think you've got to give Ricky Renteria an opportunity with a team that has talent.
And he's embracing it. You know, he's not shying away from everything.
And he has built a foundation of trust with these players that represent the core. And you've got to give him a chance to say, you know, that means something. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to win with these guys. Now, there are things about Ricky Renteria we could spend the next 3 hours, you know, kind of picking apart and criticizing because of the way he manages in game sometimes. But it's the beginning of a new season. He's got a new roster. We have to wait and see.
Let's try Frank. He's in the West Loop. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Good morning, guys. I always love calling in, especially when it comes to what comes out of Dustin's mouth affects me.
He triggered you.
Let me just say this, that the Cubs got their World Series in 16, okay? Just, number one, the tides are turning. Even before this season has started, the tides are turning. And the Cub fans can't accept that, okay? Because this is the Cubs town and blah, 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 blah. Okay. For the next however many years now, the Cubs organization will be robbing their fans like they did for decades. Okay. With putting nothing on the field. And basically, that's just how I feel. You know, and everything the Cubs get, everything that comes along their way, is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, the years ago and everything. Now, they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything because, like I've called in and said before, they're going to get the turnout. They're going to get the fans from out of state, from Indiana, Iowa, wherever else, the tourist attraction. They don't have to do anything, and they know that. And years ago, before they won the World Series, and they made the documentary about them and this and that, the Cubs organization were the epitome of sports, okay? Just because their stands were filled meant absolutely nothing to the real baseball fan, okay? And that was their comeback to the White Sox fans. Oh, well, look, our stands are filled. They don't even know who's on the field, those people, okay? And I have lifelong friends that are diehard Cub fans that live and die with this team, okay? They are the epitome of sports. They got 16, and they will become the epitome of sports once again. Okay.
All right,
when that documentary was made, that was laughing at the Cubs organization. That wasn't something good.
Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, Frank.
What documentary is he referring to?
I don't know.
And look, I want to be fair
here.
Sorry. I didn't want to wind him up and trigger him like Dustin did.
I think he was talking about the documentary.
You know, the Cubs are frustrating this offseason. They have not made a move that is significant. I guess you have to consistently remind yourself, though, that they're a victim of their own success to some degree. And the expectations, they still have spent, their payroll right now is at $182 million. And last year they spent, you know, as much on their payroll as any team in baseball except for, you know, the Red Sox. So they have spent the money. They just have not been aggressive this offseason because they're adhering to the luxury tax. The Sox, on the other hand, have taken a totally different approach, but they could because their payroll was so low. So even now, after investing over $200 million in contracts down the road, their payroll's at $118 million.
Right.
Which is aggressive, but it's still $118 million.
No doubt about it. I mean, look, the problem the Cubs have is that some of the contracts they gave out were bad contracts, starting with Hayward. It's been a bad contract since the day they got him. Starting, you know, we'll see how the pitching works out, but they got a lot of big money tied up in
guys. It's expensive when you can't draft and develop pitchers, and that's what the Cubs have encountered, and that's why Darvish and Lester were expensive, and so was Chatwood, and that jacks up your payroll.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We'll be back with your calls. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It was a big season for you last year. How can you improve on that?
Don't change a bit. Continue to work. Continue to do what I've been doing, and I'm going to show you.
What are you going to show us?
Yeah, I'm going to show y'all. I'm going to show you what I'm about. I showed you already. That was just a pregame. We're going to party now.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That was Tim Anderson talking to our Chuck.
Put it on a t-shirt. That's going to be 2020. We're going to party now. There you go.
There's I like Tim Anderson, and I'm not afraid to tell you that I really like Tim Anderson.
What's not to like?
There's nothing not to like.
There's nothing not to like.
Dustin's going to tell us in a second.
He got your could I tell you what I did? What I didn't like, what I heard about at Sox Fest, what I didn't like?
Please.
Hundreds of children were taught how to bat flip like Tim Anderson.
I mentioned that.
I did not like that.
Why?
Come on. Some kid's going to hit a ball that rolls through the third baseman's leg in T-ball, and he's going to bat flip. That's why.
Start him young.
That's Dustin, why I don't like it.
Dustin,
David.
Remembering his own career.
Time and place, okay? Time and place.
Time and place, perhaps, but I,
did he teach him that part of it?
Were you that bad a fielder?
It's a fine line.
The worst. The absolute worst Elmhurst North youth baseball player in the history. The absolute worst.
Does it get cold out there in right field?
Oh, God.
Second base in right field. Really? Absolute worst.
Let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644.
I'm surprised my parents didn't drop me off at a firehouse. I was that bad.
312-644-6767. Let's try Phil. Phil's in Downers Grove. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, guys. I was just calling and kind of chuckling a little bit. I mean, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves with too much of this White Sox Kool-Aid. For a team that won 72 games, let's face it. There are a couple of things. The best thing the Sox got going from right now is they're in the worst division in baseball. If they're in any other division in baseball, they are not competing this year. I think that's a fact. They made some moves this year, but really, what did they do? They signed and re-signed four guys in their 30s, all on the downsides of their career. I mean, Yasmani Grandal, you know, they talk about him being one of the top catchers in baseball. This guy's a 241 lifetime
hitter. He's one of the top catchers in baseball. I don't know what you're watching. I mean,
he's a 241 lifetime hitter. You're talking about putting him in as a DH when he's not catching? Why? Why would you do that? Edwin Encarnacion didn't. Neither one of those two guys hit over 250 last year.
Phil, Encarnacion has eight straight seasons with 30 or more home runs.
Can we really go into the batting average argument?
Did you cut
here?
Off, Phil?
You want me to put him back up?
Yes.
Okay. We have a lot of callers. Go back ahead, Phil. Sorry.
God, Kevin cut you off. I mean, what is that? Go ahead. Finish your thought. That's Kevin.
But like I said, for a team with 72 wins, if they're not in that same, and then they're not in the worst division of baseball, they're not even competing for anything this year, maybe not even next year. Terrible defensively. You know, they've probably got about three DHs out in the field. you know, a lot of optimism, like I said, for a team that's only had 72 wins in the worst division of baseball last year.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the thing is, Phil, and it's, again, what you look for from the White Sox is that they have good young players that are improving. So adding veterans to the mix, adding guys that have been there and done it is a good idea, because that means they're trying to win in the right now. They're trying to win. Meanwhile, they're still bringing in guys that are pretty damn good projected baseball players. Michael Kopech coming back. Obviously, Louis Robert. These are guys that you haven't seen yet, really, at the major league level. Nick Madrigal will be up this year at some point, probably after the service time thing. But that the improvement from this team will come. Eloy played 1 year, right, in the majors. Just go through the list of these guys. Anderson is 26. He's entering his prime. He won a batting title last year. You know, Yoan Moncada, I don't know if you actually watch the Sox. That is a guy that could be an MVP candidate. He's that good.
If you allow yourself to even be objective, just be objective about the White Sox, you have to see a young core of talent that people who evaluate it for a living say is among the best young cores in the American League. So whatever division they're in, you know that they're going to be a team with the arrow pointing straight up.
Let's get to Charles. He's in Englewood. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I got two questions real fast. Okay, why are we talking about the White Sox young core? But if I'm not mistaken, the Cubs core is still young, too. We have Bryant, a third baseman, a shortstop, a first baseman, and a catcher, all ranked in the top five of their positions.
Yes.
We have a left fielder that's still hitting 30 to 35 home runs. His batting average sucks. He's a decent yep. average outfielder. We got a gold glover in right field.
Yeah.
An expensive gold.
It's a lot of you got. If he's gold bat too, because you had to give him pure gold.
That's even more golden than the puck that Patrick Kane received.
I mean, listen, no one's saying the Cubs are awful, but I think, you know, when you start combining the ideas of what you're talking about with the kind of projection of these teams. They're evening out a little bit.
You can say the Sox have the third best roster in their division, and you can feel good about their opportunity to make that better and to play above maybe what you expect and embrace those expectations. You can say the same thing about the Cubs, if they have the third best roster in the National League Central, and feel disappointed based on what they've done the past 5 years. That's a drop off.
And let me tell you something. I hope to God that the White Sox are in the worst division in baseball for like the next 10 years.
Of course.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Apologize for nothing.
Let everyone get worse. That's called the New England Patriots plan. Come on. Let's get to Brian. He's in Lombard. Hey, Brian.
Morning, Brian.
Morning, guys. I just had to make a couple points. You guys had a caller. I think he was about two callers ago. I think his name was Nick from Plainfield. Somebody's got to get that guy a crying closet, because the crying about how the Cubs draw, the Sox don't, the Cubs, they're the second coming. You know, give it up. You got a good team. You got the possibility of how good the White Sox are going to be. Let's be excited about that. Let's not worry about what the Cubs are doing. I try to root for both of these teams. When I hear a guy like that call up your radio station and still crying about how the Cubs are this and the Cubs are that. Dude, just relax. Enjoy your team. There's a lot of potential. Problem is, I think they're going to strike out a lot. And about the Cubs, I'm worried about their pitching staff. They don't have enough. That's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's definitely a worry. No question about it. I mean, that's a fair comment.
Oh, definitely. You can't get around it any other way. And look, I want to correct myself a little bit, because when you look at SpotRack and see the payrolls, that has the Cubs at $182 million and stuff. They don't factor some things in. They're right around 210 again. They're going to be right around when the projections. So they have to look at everything very carefully and count pennies, if you will. So they may have talked themselves into Nick Castellanos would put them well over. But I still think you look at the big picture and you think, can't you figure it out how to maybe wedge him into the payroll for a team that needs an offensive, you know, that kind of punch in the lineup?
And I don't want to directly compare the White Sox to the Cubs, but, you know, we will because they play in the same city and we cover both teams. But, you know, the guy a couple minutes ago was harping on all these free agent signings, you know, the White Sox signing guys over 30. When the Cubs were coming into their own as a force and as a contender, they were signing guys like John Lester and John Lackey and Ben Zobrist and Jason Hamill, guys over 30, veterans to supplement the young core. You have to have it both ways. You can't have just all young players. You need to have some vets as well. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, when guys reach free agency, they're usually in their 30s. That's when you sign guys.
Listen, you know, the beauty of the offseason is that it sets up what's coming next. So we're either set up for a fall or we're set up for some glory. It's going to be fun to watch what happens both sides of town. I'm very curious to see how the Cubs end up looking, what this team looks like, and how the manager goes about his job.
But it is
as simple as that.
It is interesting to hear so far from a few Cubs fans who are already sort of triggered by the White Sox optimism, when in fact in the past it never seemed to bother, you know, Cubs fans were always like, they're White Sox, you know. Now it's like suddenly a problem.
All right, we're going to head down to we'll get back to your phone calls, but we're going to head down to Miami next. We're going to bring in Rod Woodson. We're going to talk to one of the great corners in league history who also played some safety, who knows a little something. I think, how long did Rod go? 17 years, something like that? It's pretty
long
good.
Long time.
Yeah, and again, he knows a little something about speed. There is nothing that the Kansas City Chiefs can do that Rod Woodson in his prime couldn't stop. We'll talk to him next, and let's get to Kembo with the scoreboard update.
Rod Woodson is on the NFL 100 all-time team. 17 NFL seasons, voted the all-decade team of the 90s, voted to 11 Pro Bowls. He recorded 71 picks, which he returned for 1,400 yards. He gained more than 2,300 punt return yards to, scoring 17 touchdowns. I mean, that is some real deal stuff, Coach.
This guy was big, physical, in a Mel Blount range.
Right.
Great guy, great competitor. I mean, he could do it all on a football field. Run, tackle, cover, man, zone, return punts. The return yardage on the interceptions and the punts alone is, it makes him another offensive player.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. God, wouldn't it be great if Bill Belichick said wonderful things about you? Doesn't happen all the time unless you're Rod Woodson. He joins us now on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Rod, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Rod.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on, man. I was told that since I'm coming on, you guys are going to send me some Garrett's popcorn.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. You know, it's funny because you would never remember me. I was one of 1,000 guys that talked to you in your career, 100,000. But I remember having a conversation with you about your brother living in Chicago. This is a number of years ago while you were playing. And do you still have family here in town?
No, he moved back to my hometown.
Okay. All right. Back to Fort Wayne.
Last year. Yeah, back to Fort Wayne.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but you obviously have been to town. If you know Garrett's popcorn, that's pretty good.
It's the best in the world. I get it every Christmas. I get a big bucket, a big family bucket, and we grub on it for quite a while until it's gone.
Rod, would you like some Malnati's too?
Some what?
Lou Malnati's pizza.
Oh yeah, that would be. Hey, well, I don't know if you can send that, but if you can, you know, if you can get it, you know,
frozen,
a little frozen pizza, send it to me. Yeah, I can do that.
So, Rod, we were talking about you and your career, and I was saying that there's nothing the Kansas City Chiefs can do that a Rod Woodson wouldn't be able to keep up with. I mean, one of the great things when we look at this Super Bowl is the speed of that team and the challenge that presents to defensive backs. And of course, you were a world-class hurdler, and you ran a sub-4.3 40. Oh my God! Do you see some of yourself in the speed of that team?
Yeah, you know, I told Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy last night that, you know, remember the last several years, and I would say about the last 10 years, everybody wanted to go to these big, dominant receivers who tower over defensive backs. And Andy said, you know, like 5 years ago, I think I want speed. I mean, he did the same thing in Philly with DeSean Jackson. He's like, I prefer speed over size because speed is the one thing that every DB knows that receivers can create separation on their own. They're dangerous. And, you know, what he's done with that football team and getting Hill and Hartman, those guys can run. Watson, all those guys can get up, put their feet up and down, and create the separation from the DBs, which makes it so much harder to cover. But then it makes it so much easier for Mahomes, who he is spectacular in his own right. And the bond that he has with the receiving core and the tight end and Kelsey is remarkable. So, you know, this is one of those things that it's hard to stay with those guys because they can really, really run.
So you're Richard Sherman and you're a veteran cornerback and you're relying a lot on guile and experience at this stage of your career, and you're facing one of the fastest receiving corps and certainly the fastest guy in the league in Tyreek Hill. What's your mindset and how do you use that to your advantage?
Well, I think Richard knows that, you know, first of all, he's going to stay top down. You know, the one thing that 49ers do extremely well, they don't give up the deep ball. So they have the best percentage of not giving up the deep ball in the National Football League, but you're playing against a team who takes more deep ball shots than any other offense in the National Football League, Kansas City Chiefs. So it's strength versus strength. And I think if you're, you know, Richard Sherman, you understand one thing. You, first of all, when you're impressed, you got to get your hands on Tyreek Hill. If you don't make him, if you let him run a 4-2, he's going to run a 4-2. But if you can get him to slow down a little bit, you know, then the long speed, Richard can be back there. I think for Richard's sake, he knows what he can and cannot do at this stage of his career. So, and he's played well with that. I think he's had a great bounce back year. He had 3 interceptions in the regular season. He had 2 so far in the postseason. I think it's going to be a great challenge for him, but I think he'll be up to the task.
It's Mully and Hall on the Score. We're talking to Rod Woodson, the Hall of Famer. And Rod, you know, it's interesting. We were talking last week about this idea that one of the things the Niners have managed to do is get a tough physical football team in a world where it's very difficult to do that because you don't practice. Because you don't practice hitting, you don't practice tackling. And when you look at that team in particular, it seems like what they've done is they've gone out and gotten a lot of self-motivated players, guys that can somehow turn on the physicality on game day when you don't practice it during the week. Is that the new trick in the NFL? Is that kind of what people have to look for?
Well, you know, I think, you know, we've never hit, you know, well, I can't say that. When I first came in the league, we kind of banged throughout the whole year. And then by the time Chuck Noll left and Bill Cowher came in, you know, by week 10, we were in sweats and we weren't hitting back then, you know, during the regular season, you know, but we practiced our foundation. We practiced of setting our feet and eating up the grass. So I think you always want self-motivated players. And I think the 49ers have a boatload of those guys. And I think Richard Sherman is the catalyst to that, of taking accountability to their defense and what they are. And that front four, they get after quarterbacks. You know, Bosa, you know, if you've never seen him in person, but his lower body is huge. Mm. And so he's so strong, so he can bull rush, he can speed rush. He's going to slap your hands down. He's going to get after the quarterback. You know, Ford is doing the same thing. Warner, Alexander. I mean, they have, at every level, they got playmakers. At every level, they got leaders. And that's what you want on your defense. And on offense, you know, they just have speed, you know, especially at the running back position. You know, Kansas City played against Derrick Henry. But Derrick Henry is, you know, he hits kind of downhill where, you know, this 49er team, they're going to scheme what you do well, and they're going to scheme some runs for your defense, and they're going to hit that hole a lot faster. So Bria, Coleman, Moffitt, all those guys can get to the line of scrimmage with one cut. And once they get there, they hit in the back end with some speed. So, you know, I think it's a great challenge for both Kansas City's defense. I think it's a great challenge for the 49ers offense. I think it's a great challenge for the 49ers defense against KC's offense. This is going to be a really good game. I think they match up extremely well with each other. I think some of the strengths that KC has is some of the strengths that the 49ers will have on their defense side of it. So, I think this might be one of the games that comes down to the last drive, who has the ball last.
So, Rod, if you're Kansas City's defense and you look at those realities about the 49er running game and you try to do everything you can to stop that, to try to make Jimmy Garoppolo beat you if you're going to have, you know, get beaten at all, do you think he can? Do you think that's the wise approach, and or do you think that could backfire?
No, you know, I think at the end result, you know, you look at the top five passing teams in the National Football League this year, they didn't make the postseason. But the top five rushing teams, they were in the postseason. So it's still, you got to be able to run the football, you got to be able to stop the run. Now, KC's defense, when you look statistically, you know, throughout the whole year, I think they're ranked 26 in rush defense. But the last eight games, they've only given up 93 yards a game. So they have progressed in a positive manner. When you switch from a 3-4 and go to a 4-3, there's some growing pains. And I think there are some growing pains with that. But I think they figured out who they are. They understand it. But they're going to have to stop the run and then put the pressure on Jimmy G of being the guy who can beat him. And, you know, if he does, and he's been throwing the ball extremely well, even though I know he only had, you know, 7-8 throws in the championship game, but he's better than that. He can throw the ball 35 times for the 49ers, and they can still win the football game.
So, Rod, help us out. You have osteoarthritis in your left knee. That's accurate, and you've got a solution for people.
Yeah. So, you know, I played 17 years. Been playing sports since I've been 9 years old. Had 5 knee surgeries, but I got OA in my left knee, and I took a shot 95 days ago. A shot's called Zoretta. You can go to getthez.com, and it shows you and just talks about everything. It talks about, you know, it's a time-release microspheres that go into the knee, and it's just, it releases over the time frame of being there, of being in the knee. And as you actually walk around and do your daily activities, that medicine releases into the body. It's made me feel tremendously well. My daily activity, shopping for my wife, going on hikes, doing all those daily things, that pain has kind of gone away from me. And it's just that relief that I want to give other people. And I know everybody's walking around with it. I have a lot of buddies who played in the National Football League who knees just ache, and they have that pain. And they want some relief. And I told them that this is the relief that you need to get. So if you go to getthez.com, they're going to find that relief.
Did you coach in the NFLPA All-Star Game? Did it help you when you were on the field coaching those guys up?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I was there for, and I didn't know I was going to be there from 6:30 in the morning till 8:30 at night. It definitely helped me stand up for a longer period of time.
Can you still do the hurdles? Does it work that well?
No, I'm not running hurdles anymore. So I don't think I can. I'm too old to jump over a hurdle.
When you were at Purdue, they said that you would do the hurdles like a football player. In other words, you'd run through them sometimes, and at the end of every practice, you'd have like blood dripping off you, and they'd be like, any track athlete would have stopped like an hour ago, but you just kept going till the end of the meet or whatever it was, and you'd always have some skin knee or some blood or something from the hurdles.
Right. I was a bigger hurdler than normal.
Being
6'1", 205, most of those hurdlers were, you know, probably 6 foot-ish or so, but they're like 185. They're little skinny little farts. And, you know, the thing about me, I could run through the hurdles and kind of get away with it because it wouldn't throw my rhythm off too much. But I had fun doing it. I enjoyed it, but I couldn't do that anymore.
Hey, Rod, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. We'll look forward to watching the game.
Thanks, Rod.
All right, hey, thanks, guys. I'm waiting for my Garrett's popcorn.
All right. We're going to get his address. Let's send him some Garrett's right now. All right, you got
thanks
it, Rod.
A lot, Rod.
See you, buddy. That is Rod Woodson, good man.
Yeah, he was a good man. You remember talking to him and talking to him about his brother who used to live in Chicago. My memories of Rod Woodson aren't so fond, necessarily. He talked about hurdling and we had to let him go, but I was on the field, I think I've mentioned this just before, when he hurdled our kicker, when Ball State lost to Purdue, and he returned a kickoff, I think, 100 yards.
He was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable, and it was just one of those things that you knew when he was in college, you knew when he was a rookie, that he was ticketed to a Hall of Fame-like career, And just a, he, just a class act, too.
You know, when you heard the Mel Blunt comment from Belichick, he obviously was drafted to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I think he was the 10th pick. He fell in that draft because people were moving up to get different players, all of whom I think did not do very well if you look back at the draft. But Rod Woodson winds up in Pittsburgh. Tony Dungy is one of his coaches. That staff under Chuck Knoll was unbelievable. And Rod said that when he got into the league, he had just been existing on speed. He hadn't really thought about what the opponent was doing or how to, and he had to kind of learn a lot of the understanding of the game. Because as a guy who ran a 4.29, can you imagine that?
The track athlete in pads.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but he was physical.
But he was huge, and he was
pointed
tough.
Out, he was 6'1", 205. He was ahead of his time, and yeah, he was physical, and he could tackle. He could do it all, and he was a smart player. Just one of those guys that is rare.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.